today. It's one day before Biden and Harris take office, and D.C. would look just as you would expect if a paranoid totalitarian military police state was forming just before your eyes. Plus, new evidence of massive foreign interference in the U.S. election, and a whole lot more. Welcome to today's pre-inaugural edition of World News Brief. And welcome to this Tuesday, July 19th, 2021 edition of World News Brief. I'm your host, Winston R. Holland, and today is the day before the day that is perhaps the end of all days of the, at least the U.S. American Republic. This idea of freedom under the, with the girding of the rule of law, the U.S. Constitution enumerated for us in the Bill of Rights. And as we've been seeing really over these past few years, and what we're going to, as it would appear, continue to see our freedoms and liberties stripped away one by one. How quickly? We don't know. We know that they are already talking about in a 1940-esque way, a ministry of truth, censoring media, cable companies taking down media, getting rid of disinformation, what they call disinformation. Of course, who's in charge of deciding what is information and disinformation? Obviously not we the people. So you can't trust we the people to sort out information for ourselves. No, this group of leftist government elites, of course, are going to give us the unfiltered truth. So we, of course, can make up our own minds. Something tells me that is not the case, but if you've been paying attention, you understand that the District of Columbia looks like, as alluded to in the intro, looks like it would look if some crazed totalitarian paranoid dictator was taking over office. And of course, no, not Nancy Pelosi, although with her recent seemingly erratic paranoia about Donald Trump and her fake impeachment. You would think I might be referring to her. No. It's whoever, supposedly, Trump didn't order this. I don't know who else would be able to order 25,000 National Guard troops are now in Washington, D.C., that are authorized. This is from the Gateway Pundit. Hundreds of active duty troops have been deployed to Washington, D.C. for the inauguration ceremony on Wednesday. The active duty troops with unique skill sets are now arriving. This is on top of the tens of thousands of National Guard troops in the city. Quote, the Pentagon has authorized hundreds of active duty troops to support enhanced security measures related to President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration as local law enforcement continues to track threats of violence in the nation's capital in the days leading up to the ceremony, according to two defense officials. The 750 active duty personnel deployed this week include service members with expertise in handling chemical, biological, nuclear, radiological, and explosive weapons, as well as explosive ordnance disposal and medical teams skilled in trauma response, said one defense official who spoke on condition of anonymity. The Department of Defense has also authorized active duty personnel to coordinate with the Federal Emergency Management Agency, medical personnel to conduct COVID-19 testing in support of the attending physician of Congress, and additional management and support personnel, the official said. The news comes as authorities are in a heightened state of alert, scrambling on Monday morning to respond to a fire in the general area of the U.S. Capitol. Okay, so there's all kinds of experts there to protect what looks like an imminent attack from some foreign country. But then how many troops as of Monday morning? 21,500 National Guard troops were in Washington, D.C., according to a new update from the National Guard Bureau provided to American Military News. In total, 25,000 National Guard troops have been authorized to deploy in the National Capital Region on Friday. Troops are arriving in support of President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration. Why are 25,000 troops needed in Washington, D.C. for Joe Biden's inauguration? Just like his rally, no one is going to show up. Some may believe this to be a bit excessive, and of course they show the Biden rally where you have, I mean, it's not even full. You have chairs socially distanced, each in their own circle, and the chairs aren't even full. It's really incredible for someone who blew the popular vote record out of the water, 80 million votes. They're that popular, they're that beloved, that they're literally, that the District of Columbia is now it's an absolute military, it's under martial law. It's literally under martial police law right now. It's incredible. And I want to ask the question, let's say Trump had done this for his inauguration. What would the media be saying about that? What would the media be calling him? Would they be calling him a dictator? They called him a dictator without that. They called him a dictator while he was protecting people's freedoms, whether it's freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of assembly. He was protecting people's speech to march and speak out against him, and they were calling him a dictator. They were calling him a Nazi. Imagine if he had done this. We'll see what happens, but it looks like all signs point to the fact that Biden will be sworn in tomorrow. There's not going to be any kind of invoking the Insurrection Act, military rescue from this communist socialist regime. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily that all is lost. That doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to be the end of the country or the end of the American Republic completely as we know it. I don't know. We cannot predict that at this point. There are some people that are being very positive. They think that what's going to go on over the next couple of years is going to really galvanize the country against this totalitarian mindset, and we're going to have a radical reversal in 2022. I don't know. You know, the question will be, what will the states do? What will the individual states do in order to shore up, to ensure that elections going forward are not fraudulent? And we're going to get into that story in just a second about some breaking election fraud. But if the states don't get a hold of their voting systems and get those Dominion machines out and ensure election integrity, I really don't see how you really ever have a Republican anything ever again. Because it looks like everything that they are attempting to do is in order to cement themselves to ensure a one-party state. I guess we will find out soon enough. Now, regarding election fraud, this was from, you know, there's a group called the American Report that came out with they did quite a bit of analysis and came out with a report saying that China, Russia, Hong Kong, Germany, Canada, Czech Republic hacked Pennsylvania, Nevada, Michigan, and Georgia battleground states. That's what their raw data analytics show. Now, their website, theamericanreport.com, after they published this report, was immediately trashed. It was attacked by malware, and it's down. As of right now, the site is not back up yet. I don't know if it ever will be. It's truly amazing. You know, my question I would ask, if this stuff is so easily debunkable, if it's such nonsense, if it's such garbage, let it out there, let people see it, and let people see the garbage that it is. But they are terrified. They are terrified of this information getting out. Now, of course, they claim that it's a result of because showing election, contending with the results of the election incites violence, which was the cover that the big tech companies had for canceling Parler, for censorship, and all of that. Now, interestingly enough, There's a tweet from the Ayatollah Khomeini from 2018 about the destruction of Israel that is still up there right now. It's still up there now. I'll see if I can find a link and put it up at cgm.news. I have the picture of it. It's still up there. And so this idea that they suddenly care so much about all of this incitement of violence is absolute baloney. There's incitement to violence. There's that montage you've probably seen right now about all these Democrats and media types calling for uprisings, calling for violence, saying that peaceful protesting, since when does protesting have to be peaceful? So there's something more at play. There's something far more at play. And what it tells me is that they really are worried about this information getting out. Now, I have a prediction. We'll see if it comes true or not. But my prediction is that after Biden is inaugurated, over time, over this year, they won't be able to help themselves but to talk about it. I think you will see them admitting to some nefarious activity. And the reason why I think that is, and you know, I could be wrong, they might just continue to keep it hush-hush. But the reason why I think that that might be the case is look at the Hunter Biden laptop story, where the New York Post was just absolutely censored to the hilt. I mean, they were shut down from sharing a very legitimate news story about a candidate for president of the United States, his son, of which the president of the United States is directly related with the terrible, treasonous business dealings of his son. But you can't talk about that. Censored, done, gone. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. They don't believe in freedom of the press. They believe in the freedom of their propaganda, plain and simple. Look, you believe in a free press? Fine. Let the New York Post put up a story. Let the Washington Post try to debunk it. Let the New York Post try to debunk the Washington Post, debunk, and on and on and on and on and on. Let us talk about it. Let's have conversation. Let's put the information out there, and may the best ideas win. But that's not leftism. That's not Stalinism. That's not Marxism. There is no freedom of the press. And we're going to get to that in a second. Also about how they're even calling for basically the abolition of news that they disagree with, news that they don't like. It's truly incredible. I'm going to end off reading a scripture to you guys. And I hope you take it to heart. I hope we take this to heart. This is not a time to fear. No fear. No fear. Remember those shirts big in the 90s? No fear. With kind of a cool, edgy font to them. No fear. He who is within us is greater than he who is in the world, as the scripture says. Do not fear. Fear only God. If you want a good motivation for that, look up Matthew 10:28. I understand the concern. I share the concerns. The more I see of what they are saying with their own mouths, not what some writer on the right says about what they're saying or what they think they're going to do. What they're saying out of their own mouths is they want to cancel all political opposition. And look, as someone who runs a humble network such as CGM Radio, it does concern me, right? It's something that's on my radar. It's something that I'm considering. But I am not going to change what I talk about one iota. And if they want to deplatform CGM Radio, if they want to get rid of this podcast or any of the other podcasts, myself and the other hosts on the CGM Radio Network, we're not giving in. We're not going to be silenced by their threats or any threats of deplatforming. I would rather speak the truth and be deplatformed than compromise and stay on the air. That's just the reality. And you know, at some point we have to do what's right and let the chips fall where they may. I'd rather do what's right and not have CGM radio than compromise and be able to stay on. I think there are very, very, very good reasons to question the results of the U.S. election. Let me say that again. There are extremely good reasons to think that there was massive, widespread election fraud. So the algorithms can pick that up. And if they want to get rid of me for saying that, that's fine. But I'm going to say that as long as I have a voice to say it. And speaking of, let's get back to this story. Exclusive. This is from World View Weekly Broadcast Network. Proof China Russia hacked 2020 election. IP addresses in China, Russia, Hong Kong, Germany, Canada, Czech Republic hacked. Battleground states. Raw data analytics show. IP addresses owned by Chinese telecom enterprise Huawei Cloud and Huawei's headquarters hacked into IP addresses of county election offices in Pennsylvania on November 3, 2020. The data analysis shows a Huawei-owned IP address, Huawei Hong Kong Cloud, also hacked an IP address in Michigan. Remember, those Dominion servers were online. Even Chris Krebs, who used to be in the Trump administration after he, until he came out and said that it was the most secure election in history, and Trump was like, "You're out of here." You know, he said that the Dominion voting machines were online. So this whole idea that these Dominion voting machines are, or any of the voting machines, not just Dominion, that any of the voting machines are free from any outside interference because they're locked in and they're not connected to the internet is just simply wrong. IP addresses owned by Chinese state-owned telecommunications operator China Unicom also hacked into IP addresses of county election offices in Pennsylvania, as well as an IP address owned by the office of the Pennsylvania Secretary of State on November 3rd. IP addresses owned by Chinese internet provider ChinaNet hacked into IP addresses of county clerk offices in Nevada counties on November 3rd and November 4th, according to the data analysis. An IP address owned by ChinaNet hacked into an IP address owned by the Clark County Registrar of Voters on November 3rd. Las Vegas is located in Clark County. And it goes on and on and on and on. So take a look at that. The link is up at cgm.news. The full report, which was up at theamericanreport.com, has been taken down. They do have a sheet of the evidence of it on worldviewweekend.com. But again, the direct link to that story will be up at cgm.news. Mike Lindell has been heroically traveling the country and spending millions of his own dollars to essentially get this information out. He had a meeting with the president about it, but it didn't sound like it went too well. It's a lot of people believe that the president has been just completely insulated by his advisors, by people surrounding him. Everybody wanted him. Most people around him wanted him to give up, except for Peter Navarro and a few others. Mike Pence was completely unsupportive, even despite the January 6th issue. As I've talked about before, if an election is stolen or potentially stolen, it should be litigated in the courts, and it wasn't. And here we are today. It's something Congress should take care of. They didn't. They wouldn't even send it back to the states to double check the certification with even requests by the states. And so here we are now, where you have almost 50% of the public that does not believe that this election is valid. There is no greater time in American history that I'm aware of that a president of the United States is going into office with a cloud of half the country not believing that his election was legitimate. And CNN was apparently having a meltdown over this when they saw this, polling came out about that. They can't handle it. But remember, they were saying for years that and probably still are, that the election of Donald J. Trump was invalid. Remember, hashtag not my president. That Hillary Clinton got more of the popular vote than Donald Trump, and therefore Trump was an illegitimate president. They've been saying this for years. If, and I've said this before, I'll repeat it again, if Trump had been declared the victor on election night, they would cities would be on fire, rioting, marching, and they would have all said that it was completely illegitimate. Remember, Hillary told Biden, under no circumstances, concede. Under no circumstances. And now we know. We know why. Because, look, we've got this, Joe. You're going to win. Don't worry about it. We've got this. We got it taken care of. So just don't concede under no circumstances. And boy, was she right. Was she right? Even they got to shut down counting at 11 o'clock at night in five states in order to generate enough ballots in order to turn and tip the election to Joe Biden. But that's where we are at. I'm hoping the full report of this at theamericanreport.com. I'm hoping that website will come out. We can get the full report. For whatever reason, the full report isn't on here. As soon as I get that, I will have it up at cgm.news. Now, this is, I'm going to just mention this next story briefly. This is from stream.org. Biden has ties to five major tech companies. And what is happening is you've got tech giants, Google, Amazon, and others, Twitter, that are essentially coming into the Biden administration. These are not people that are champions of free speech and free expression. These are people that are champions of censorship. Champions of submit to whatever we say. Remember when there was a time in American history when it was cool to challenge authority, when it was cool to challenge the status quo? Remember that, when it was cool to be a revolutionary? See, what we have to understand as we watch and pay attention to the development of American society is that kind of stuff is only, they only use it when it helps them. Back in the 50s, back in the 60s, it helped them. Why? Because America was still largely underpinned by Judeo-Christian morals and values. And so it was cool to challenge that, because we're changing into Marxist atheists, attempting to get prayer out of schools, attempting to just completely destroy the foundations of this country, both religious, constitutional. So it was cool back then. Or speaking of the 1960s, the fact that MLK Day was yesterday, the Civil Rights Movement, which I, of course, believe in, as a Christian, I believe in the equality of all people, that we are made in the image of God. And even like the scripture says, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, male or female, slave nor free. We are all one in Christ Jesus. So even if someone has the status of a slave, they are equal with someone who is not, because they are created in the image of God. And that's why slavery is so abominable. You are turning someone who is created in the image of God, a free creature, a moral thinking, rational moral agent, and you are turning them essentially into an animal to be their own. That's why slavery is so abominable, even from a Christian perspective. Now, people will say that the Bible defends slavery, but it's very important also to understand that the Apostle Paul himself said, I believe it was in the book of 1 Corinthians, that are you a slave? It is better that you become free. And so, yes, folks, the New Testament is anti-slavery. It says it is better for you to not be a slave than to be one, as opposed to condoning and promoting slavery. So anyway, so free speech was helpful to the left so long as they were in the minority. Civil rights were helpful to the left. Why? Because they believed, whether it's voting rights or any other equal rights, will help them politically, will actually strengthen their position politically, which it did. Now, of course, I am in favor of equal rights, but I'm not in favor of equal rights because it helps my position politically. I'm in favor of equal rights because it's the right thing to do. Just like I'm not pro-life because I feel like if we end abortion, it's going to help me politically. I'm pro-life because abortion is murder. It is flat-out murder. That's exactly what it is. And so kind of on and on and on we go. And even what we're getting into now is this critical racist theory that is, it's far beyond. MLK is rolling over in his grave at this stuff. The more I read about it, where MLK would never call a white person racist because they were white. Or if they were to say, for example, that we don't judge people by the color of their skin. It's all about judging by the color of their skin. Oh, you're white? You're racist. Oh, you're a person of color? You are oppressed. You are disadvantaged. Just by default. You could be a person of color who's a child of a billionaire, and you're disadvantaged because of the color of your skin. It's incredible. It's incredible, and it's a lie. So everything that they do, even, you know, I think this is a fantastic example of it. Everything that they do, even let's look at immigration, right? They're going to try to basically give citizenship to 11 million illegal immigrants. Or 20 million or whatever the number is. Who knows what the actual number is. But why are they doing that? You know, if they knew, let's be honest. If they knew that these 20 million immigrants were all going to vote Republican after they were given citizenship, do you think they would still be as interested in giving them citizenship? I mean, if we're being brutally honest, if they were, you know, 20 million brown people, you know, whatever they like to call, that's their terminology. That's what they like to call them. 20 million, quote, people of color, which, you know, I could be a racist for saying this, but even though I'm considered Caucasian or white, my skin has color as well. My skin does too. So technically, I am a person of color because there is color in my skin, which is why we need to get away from this race warfare, constant obsession with skin color. Look, we're humans. If we all had the exact same skin color, then we would discriminate against each other based off of color of hair. And if we all had the exact same color of hair, we would discriminate against each other on height or weight or color of eyes. I mean, it's just human nature. This is stupid. I say you're either in the majority, you're a law-abiding citizen, you're the majority being an American citizen, or you're not an American citizen and thus in the minority. That's really the way. I don't judge people by the color of their skin, by the content, but by the content of their character. And I stand with Martin Luther King Jr. on that, even if the left does not. But back to the immigration. You really can't make this stuff up. So Jorge Ramos, who is just the big, big anti-Trump Univision reporter, here's what he's saying about this caravan coming down from Honduras. Okay, remember, for the longest time, Trump was a racist for shutting down the borders and not allowing this invasion. I mean, just absolute invasion of immigrants from South America. I mean, as if it's incredible. You literally cannot have a nation. You literally cannot protect your borders. You literally cannot decide who and who cannot come in. Just let everybody in. Something tells me that if it was 10 million white men wearing MAGA hats that were trying to invade the borders, I'm pretty sure their open borders theology would crash and burn pretty quick. It would be nowhere to be found. So here's what Jorge Ramos said in a recent interview. He said, "We all know that one of the first things Joe Biden is going to do as president will be to send Congress a bill in order to legalize 11 million undocumented immigrants, to protect the Dreamers, and to protect hundreds of thousands of Venezuelan exiles. Very well. This might be sending Central America the message that the U.S. border is open. And that's not true." And by the way, Trump tried for years to negotiate with the Democrats to do something about to do something with the Dreamers, and they wouldn't do it. They shut them down at every turn. I mean, I agree. You can't just have these people just hanging in, who are here in the U.S., hanging in limbo forever, and you're not going to send, you know, millions of Dreamers home. Okay, so what do we do about this? We got to strike some kind of deal, and Trump was willing to do that, and they were not. But here you have Jorge Ramos, Mr. Open Borders himself, saying, this might be sending Central America the message that the U.S. border is open, and that's not true. What? I thought you were the most diabolical of all anti-black and brown people if the borders are not open. And here you have Jorge Ramos himself saying the U.S. border is not open. And then he goes on to saying this could cause new Central American caravans to come north. We have the most specific case precisely from a caravan of Hondurans that is currently stuck in Guatemala attempting to cross Mexico in order to make it to the United States. So take it for what it's worth. Look, we know they believe in walls when it helps them to believe in walls, such as around their homes, such as the militarized zone of DC, where you have massive security, massive protection, massive walls. They believe in guns when it helps them. They're surrounded by men with guns, but we cannot own a firearm in order to protect ourselves. The wall right now is quite helpful. I don't think they're going to be knocking down that wall. Why? Because they can control it. They can open it up when they want it open up. They can close it when they want to close it. But this whole idea that the Democrat Party, and I've known this and figured this kind of thing would happen. I know a lot of people were concerned that it was just going to be just full-on open borders. I don't know that. You know, Biden and Obama deported millions of people. You know, some of it you could say wasn't exactly the standard definition of deportation, but they deported people every day. So they were never fully open borders. And this example right here is further proof of that. Okay, I want to end off talking about some censorship. We knew that this was coming, the extent to which we don't actually know. But you know, this story is a few days old. I hope you don't mind indulging me for a second, because this is incredibly important. Here is what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said. She said this: there's absolutely a commission that's being discussed, but it seems to be more investigating in style rather than truth and reconciliation, she said, regarding the Capitol Hill riot. I do think that several members of Congress and some of my discussions have brought up media literacy, because that is part of what happened here. We're going to have to figure out how we rein in our media environment so you can't just spew disinformation and misinformation. Now, isn't that something? So this, 29, 30-year-old bartender masquerading as a congresswoman, and people like her are going to be the ultimate arbiters of truth and what we are allowed to read and not read. If she has read the Constitution, which I doubt, I don't know, I wonder if she's ever actually read it. If she has read it, there is something called a First Amendment, which guarantees us the freedom of the press. And why is freedom of the press so important? And it's for this reason right here, because this is not going to be some neutral commission comprised of everybody across the political spectrum. There's no way. There's not even going to be one. There might be one person who says that they're a Republican so they can make it look bipartisan when in fact there's some Trump MAGA hater that'll just go along obsequiously with whatever the leftist panel, the leftist arbiters of this say. This is a direct attack on freedom of the press, a direct attack on the First Amendment, which, again, when you understand leftism, the more you understand leftism, the more you understand that that's the way they operate. Dictators do not appreciate opposition. When you have a truly representative form of government and you have the free exchange of ideas and people have the opportunity to pick, to select their candidates, a free press thrives. But dictators have never been big fans of anybody challenging anything they say, much less challenging their authority. And so what she is wanting here is because she possibly knows that there is another narrative to the Capitol riots. And when I say another narrative, I'm referring to facts, other facts that she doesn't like that will hurt her narrative on what happened. They're using the Capitol riots to attack Trump, but not just to attack Trump. They want to try to take him out. That's why they want this narrative that Trump incited this insurrection in order to convince, I don't know what, 18 or so feckless Republicans, 20 or so feckless Republicans into impeaching the president. Well, let me make a prediction here. That is not going to happen. Even Lindsey Graham, who turned and stabbed Trump in the back, is saying that Chuck Schumer needs to call off impeachment. Mitch McConnell's probably all for it. But what they're realizing, that like the backlash that Liz Cheney is getting, the backlash that I am sure Lindsey Graham is getting, understanding that Republicans that voted for impeachment have no future. Republicans that stabbed Trump in the back and accused him of inciting insurrection when he did not, because he didn't, they do not have a future. Most likely. Many of them, if not all of them, are going to be primaried out as they deserve. The Wyoming Republican Party unanimously voted to censure Liz Cheney, which is essentially just a statement of strong condemnation, disapproval. It's basically a whack across the back of the head. And I'm not condoning violence of Liz Cheney. It's an expression. But, you know, Trump didn't even use any expressions. He said, let's patriotically and peacefully let our voices be heard. I watched that whole speech. I watched every tweet. Trump never incited people to violence. So if this thing actually goes to an actual trial, unlike that Soviet-style show trial that they had last week impeaching the president, if this goes to an actual trial, I don't see how in a court of law you could even get anywhere close to anywhere in the universe, much less galaxy, of reasonable doubt in showing that Trump incited any kind of insurrection. But they don't care. The idea, they know Trump is a threat. He is an absolute threat. They want to take him out. They know his movement is enormous. I remember that, I think it was a Time magazine article where it showed, Trump 2020, Trump 2024, 2028, all the way up to like 56. And Trump even tweeted it out with kind of a funny thing of him at the end of it dancing, because they understand this is a movement. And the Republicans need to get a memo that if they're going to pull this garbage, and look, if Trump had actually, let's say he did, let's do a play a game. Shall we play a game? Let's play the game of Trump actually did. He actually did call for his supporters to storm in and break into the Capitol. Of course he should be impeached. Of course. Of course he should be. You know, I don't know if they would need to do a trial at, but yeah, they probably would. I mean, that is calling for insurrection. But it is interesting with so much talk of the Insurrection Act and everything, how the left tries to take what we're talking about and use it against us. But anyway, that's a whole other topic. But yeah, if he had called for that, if he had called for the overthrow of the U.S. government, then of course he should be. But he did not. Now, I think it was completely within the president's rights to do something like an insurrection act and call for very limited localized martial law in order to rerun some of these elections in such a way as to guarantee as much as possible as there was not voter fraud. And he could, you know, take off, you know, you could delay things and until March like it used to be. But he did not. But I like what he says here in this article. This is at newsbusters.org talking about AOC's censorship. Let's cut to the chase. The objective here is to silence the press. As so many people have quickly said, this is straight out of Orwell's 1984 with its Ministry of Truth. Yet as Unerring as Oro was with his fiction, it was fiction. But in fact, what AOC is proposing has been a regular feature of one dictatorship after another over the decades. And then they go actually into, this is a great article, go into Benito Mussolini and what he did. So I wanted to touch on that. Also, the post-millennial has a post up about Katie Couric calling for deprogramming of Trump supporters. How are we going to deprogram them? Remember, it's called television programming for a reason. Right? Obviously, there's a program, there's a schedule, but I think that there's a double meaning there to some extent, because what is happening when you watch television? Or hey, when you listen to a podcast or the radio, what you are getting programmed. That's why you have to be very careful who and what you listen to. And what the reason why television is so important to the left is because it's amusement, right? No think. Is what amusement means. And it programs you with their values and with their beliefs. I mean, I've watched old TV shows and seen leftism slowly creeping into even into old TV shows. So they've been working on this for a long time. And really what television is and has been, it has been a medium, essentially a discipleship tool, you could say, of the world to program you with their values. And so, and what Katie Couric is saying now is that we need to do this to Trump supporters. Somehow we need to reprogram them. Now, another thing on censorship. Now, of course, we can't talk about this without mentioning the fact that and Project Veritas exposed this, that the lead counsel of PBS, the lead attorney of public broadcasting station, was caught undercover by Project Veritas saying that we need to basically take children of Trump supporters and put them all into re-education camps. Fortunately, PBS fired him after that came out. But this isn't some, look, I try to hold the same standards to others as I want them to hold to me. I don't want somebody saying, you know, there's one person out here who says they're a Christian, they do something crazy, and so they think of all Christians that way. And I don't want to think that way about necessarily about the people on the left or Democrats either. I want to be fair to them just like I want them to be fair to me. So that's why I don't look at just some crackpot, pink-haired, you know, whatever over here that's got some funny hat and a women's march or whatever, screaming and ranting and raving, and take that and blanket everybody that's a Democrat. What I like to do is I want to look at their leaders. What are their leaders saying? What are their mainstream publications saying? Who are the people at the top? What are they saying? And that'll give you an idea of kind of where the mindset of the movement is. So when you have Katie Couric saying we need to reprogram Trump supporters, and when you have the lead counsel of CBS coming out, I'm sorry, of PBS coming out and saying, or saying undercover rather, that we need the children of Trump supporters to be put in re-education camps. And of course he said that, you know, they would be nice, they would be comfortable, they would be Sesame Street type characters. We pulled our kids away from PBS a long time ago. We kind of saw where things were going there, which our tax dollars go to pay for, by the way, which I've always wondered why PBS needs our tax dollars. How many billions and billions of dollars have they made off of Elmo dolls alone? Their stuff, they're in every store. Sesame Street stuff, PBS stuff is in every store. Why in the world do they need government subsidies? I remember one of the things I liked about Mitt Romney's campaign is he talked actually about pulling money from places like this that federal dollars don't need to be going to. They can compete along with everybody else in the free market. Of course, I doubt had Romney gotten in, he would have done it, but it certainly sounded good at the time. So this is one more on censorship. CNN, this also from the post-millennial, CNN discusses plans to ban conservative news organizations and influencers. Quote, disinformation expert Alex Stamos and CNN's Brian Stelter discussed how communications companies need to be more proactive in preventing conservative news outlets and influencers from reaching people in a particularly Orwellian segment on reliable sources today.
Information crisis that has been perpetuated, in my view, by platforms like the one we're used to work, Facebook, as well as Twitter and others.
It's really hard because what's happening is people are able to seek out the information that makes them feel good. That is what's happening, is that, you know, people have so much choice now. They can choose what their news sources are. They can choose what influencers they want to follow. And they can try to seal out anything that helps them question that. And I think that gets to a really core issue with how our freedoms as Americans and the way we've treated press freedom in the past is being abused by these actors. In that we have given a lot of leeway, both in the traditional media and on social media, to people to have a very broad range of political views. And it is now in the great economic interest of those individuals to become more and more radical. And I think that one of the places you can see this is on the fact that you now have competitors to Fox News on their right, OANN and Newsmax, which are carried by all the major cable networks, who are trying to now outflank Fox on the right, because the moment Fox introduced any kind of realism into their reporting, immediately a bunch of people chose to put themselves into a sealed ecosystem. And they can do that both on cable, they can do it online. And that becomes a huge challenge of figuring out, how do you bring those people back into the mainstream of fact-based reporting? And
mainstream of fact-based reporting, meaning whatever we say is mainstream. Whatever we say are the facts. Whatever we say is the truth. Because this is the Ministry of Truth from Orwell's 1984. It sounds so great. Define the mainstream. What are the facts? These are the same people that censored the Hunter Biden story, but after the election, were okay with the Hunter Biden story coming out. These are the same people that condemn Trump for supposedly causing an insurrection at the Capitol, which he did not, but are fine with the world's dictators being all over social media calling for violence. So I don't trust these people at all. Look, I don't think it's a good idea to insulate yourself from all news that you don't like, but at the same time, so because people make the choice to do that, then we're going to do what? We're going to get rid of, we're going to force One America News, we're going to force Newsmax out of the picture because they were actually willing to cover the election fraud. And by the way, are we really to believe that CNN viewers don't do that with CNN? That they only watch CNN, MSNBC, read the New York Times, read the Washington Post, or read, how many people just read BuzzFeed? If you just read BuzzFeed, you thought that the Russian dossier hoax was legit. So I'm sorry, I don't buy it. We have press freedom for a reason. I know they can't handle. See, they can only handle the freedom to choose when it's your choice whether or not to have your unborn baby murdered. That's the only time they can handle choice. But really, that's only temporary. The right of a woman to choose even that, if we go full blown, if we go full to the left, goes away. Because eventually what they want to implement is just full-on population control. As in China right now, if you live in the city, you can have one kid. And recently, they apparently expanded it to where now you can have two if you live in the rural areas, which has created a demographic disaster, where you have 25% more men than women, because in China, it's better to have a boy than a girl. Not to mention the murder, the absolute genocide of unborn children, the genocide of girls. That is said because if they get an ultrasound, they see it's a girl. Many, many Chinese families then abort that child because the male is the heir, the boy is the heir. There's a saying in China, something to the effect of that if you're basically selling your inheritance away if you have a girl. You're giving up everything you have if you have a girl, because it's passed on to the boy. But if you can only have one child, that's very, very problematic. So it's freedom to choose now. But that is only temporary on the path to full totalitarianism. There are no choices. There's the choice to obey the executive and obey his rules or face the consequences. So So they're already talking about, let's get rid of freedom of the press. Let's get rid of competitors. Let's censor. And this is the world that we face, but it is not something that we need to go into with fear. Remember, there's always good news out there that is not necessarily directly in front of us. Good news that we cannot see. Good news that's going to happen over this next year that we wouldn't predict, because right now it looks like all is lost. It looks like the country is essentially one-party rule forever, which of course is the telltale sign of a communist regime. It looks like that they're going to try to do everything they can to cement that one-party rule. But, you know, one thing that I saw and that was so encouraging was to see the percentage of Black and Latino voters that came over to the MAGA movement. And so, you know, let's say they give amnesty to 11 million, the Dreamers and all of that. That doesn't mean that politically even all is lost, because there are many of them who eventually will come over. Now, will a big enough percentage? Not, probably not anytime soon. But in this past election, you had at least 74 million people vote for freedom. They voted for rationality. They voted for that there's a difference between men and women. Yeah, there's two genders. There aren't 8,485 zillion genders. They voted for just basic common sense normalcy. They voted for the Constitution. They voted for the nation state. They didn't believe that we should be subject to the global order, the new world order. That's what people were voting for. They were voting for manufacturing jobs. They were voting that, let's not ship all of our jobs to China. Let's create a manufacturing base here in order to be able to have a strong middle class. They voted for religious freedom. They voted for freedom of speech. They voted for free exercise of religion, a free press, a freedom to assemble. All these things which came under assault in unprecedented ways in 2020, which looked like it was just the cherry on top of the whole dessert that's coming in 2021 and beyond. So that's what people voted for. And I think that overall, people are going to gravitate to that, especially as a couple things we're going to see unfold. We're going to see the civil war between the far, far left of the Democrat Party and the far left. That's going to continue to explode and just grow like a snowball avalanche. It's going to get worse and worse, and we're going to be able to watch that. They're going to try to do too much too soon. The optics of this inauguration are horrific. They are terrible. DC is a military state. You got to have papers to go everywhere. They're checking IDs everywhere. Huh, it's funny. When it benefits them, check IDs. When it's for their security, check IDs. But when it comes to voting and election integrity, we're not going to, that's racist. It's racist to check IDs. Unbelievable. And people buy it. People buy it hook, line, and sinker, and that's why there have to be voices of opposition, which is why they don't want voices of opposition. They want their ministry of truth. They want their government-controlled media that basically tells people what to believe. They have to believe this, and if you don't believe it, you're X, Y, Z. So that is where we are at. So today really is the last full day of a Donald Trump presidency. And, you know, Donald Trump came on the scene like a rocket from out of nowhere. I did not support him in the primaries, but once he got the nomination, I knew it was him or totalitarianism, which is why I voted for him. I honestly didn't expect him to be one of the greatest presidents that we've ever had. I didn't expect him to be able to accomplish, or that he would accomplish, all that he accomplished. But I do want to say that I'm grateful to God for him, that we had a 4-year reprieve of totalitarianism, that there was a check to religious discrimination, tyranny, free speech tyranny. He was a check on all that. Campus tyranny, speech on campuses. I don't know what's going to happen. I do have this sinking suspicion that it's not going to be as bad as we think, but it's going to be very challenging. So it's not going to be as absolutely horrible as we can imagine, but it's going to be challenging. But that also is not a reason to fear. We have got to get fear out of our lives. We have got to get fear out of our vocabulary. We have to understand that we are in a battle, that we're in a war, that the rest from battle comes when we die and we're with Jesus. But as long as we're alive, the battle continues. And I think there's a particular scripture that I would like to end off with that makes this very clear. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having belted your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having strapped on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With every prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be alert with all perseverance and every request for all the saints. Those orders there are not orders to stand down, to cower, and to not face with boldness in the power of God by the Holy Spirit with whatever comes ahead. Look, God knew that this was going to happen. He is sovereign overall. He could have stopped this if he wanted to, and he did not. And so we have to live in the world as it is, of course, not the world as we wish it to be. And so the question is, how are we going to react? How are we going to respond? Dive into the Word of God. Dive into prayer. Dive into your relationship with the Lord through Jesus Christ. If you don't have a relationship with God, go to cgm.news, click on Great News, and read about the gospel. Read about how to have a relationship with Christ. Do not fear. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Cultivate a healthy fear of God, not fear of man. These people are nothing to him. He's got this. Now, just because he's got this doesn't mean everything's going to turn out like we want it to. There's something that tells me we're going to see some pretty amazing stuff in the year ahead, and we will be right here on the CGM Radio Network on World News Brief to chronicle it all. All right, guys, that'll do it for today's episode. Make sure to check us out online, cgmradio.com/world. Subscribe if you have not already. Email me, world@cgmradio.com. Questions, comments, would love to interact with you there. In terms of social media, we are on Gab at CGM Radio News. We will be back up on Parler at CGM Radio News. Apparently, they're going to be up by the end of the month. Our Facebook and Twitter are still there. Not doing anything there at the moment. This is a transitional time for social media. So the best way to keep in touch with what is going on with CGM is to check out cgm.news and cgmradio.com. God bless. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.